Hey.
Hey.
I was right beside you.
Oh, really?
When you called.
I met Michael at Chinatown in D.C. on an afternoon, a pretty busy afternoon with a lot of traffic, and our goal was to train Powers, his seeing eye dog.
Hey, Powers.
To find bus stops. So that if Michael, who is visually impaired, needed to get to a bus, he would be able to say, Powers, find a sign.
Okay, so I know there are bus stops at this intersection, and bus stops that I use.
Yeah, for the 80.
Now, thing is, how do you train a dog to find a metal pole with a bus schedule?
Powers, ready?
Michael puts his fist up to this pole, and that means, come over and put your nose on my fist. So now Powers has his nose on Michael's fist at the pole, and then Michael clicks.
So that sound means that he gets food? Food. So he has to touch my hand first, and then once he gets the game down from this point, then we back up. Powers, find the sign.
Okay, so now I'm like 20 feet away from them, and he's ambling toward the pole. Okay, Powers is confused between the pole and the tree. He's not sure if it's the pole or the tree that he's supposed to lead to, but he just got fed. It's kind of a chore, though, for every bus stop.
No, see, the thing is that, Powers, halt. The thing is that if I do this with him for enough bus stops, as long as they look the same, then I could start using the word bus, like sign. And then if there's a sign nearby, a bus stop nearby, he'll find it.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
The problem is there's a bunch of stops around the city and not all of them look the same.
It's kind of an accessibility issue when a transit system has different kinds of signs.
Yeah. If you have a guide dog.
Okay.
Otherwise, I guess it's equally inaccessible. Powers, forward.
Powers is pretty smart, but he's also a machine. You know, like Michael and I are trying to walk down the street to go back to home. But along the way, Powers starts walking up the ramp into a Chinese restaurant.
Where are you going, Powers?
Is he going to that restaurant?
He is.
We
went
here yesterday.
You went here yesterday?
Yeah. For lunch.
Oh.
That was good boy. Good boy.
But not right now.
That's so cute. He wanted to eat again.
Well, he, like, sort of automatically starts going to places.
He's also a machine.
That
machine.
Are on route machine. That we've already been to in the past.
I see.
Which is, like, one of the benefits of having a guide dog. Because, like, presumably I'll go back there again unless I hated it. Which I did not. It's
you
good.
Did not? Really? I've never been there. It looked like really.
Seeing eye dog doesn't make a lot of noises. I was with Powers for 30 minutes and it never barked once. What other noises do dogs make?
No.
That is the only noise that Powers made. And he only did it once, well, once that I got on tape for something that was kind of surprising to me.
Is he distracted?
Your dog, Powers, halt.
Oh, there's a pizza, there's a Papa John's right here.
But there's no dog?
There is a dog
He's
over there.
He's whining about it. Powers, no.
There is a dog.
No. No. Powers, no. Quiet. That's his big weakness.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Because when he was at our party, he was totally non-responsive to most of the people.
Yeah.
So I figured to dogs he would be the same.
No, they're his species.
Wow.
The first guide dogs were German shepherds, whose IQ of 60 just barely precludes them from joining the Spanish army, whose cutoff is at 70 points.
Food.
A lesser woman would use this opportunity to make a joke about sniffing privates.
Thank you, Lindsay. That was the talented and gorgeous Lindsay Stark, who won last month's podcast challenge by correctly guessing that metamorphoses is what ties Ovid, Kafka, and Hilary Duff together in one historical lineage.
Food.